Welcome to The Word, a podcast for the Antioch College community. I'm Zeb Reichert, Miller Fellow at WYSO. For years, public radio and television stations have been collecting and sorting their audio, video, and other records for archival use. But these libraries of media, dating back to the 1950s, have seen little use, and since they are reels of analog footage and tape, they're not compatible in the digital age. 5 years ago, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB, took notice of these huge caches of history and decided it was time to blow off the dust and bring them back into the light of day. The American Archive Project was born. Through a competitive application process, WYSO, Antioch College's public radio station, was one of the first stations selected to take part. The result? More than 300 hours of audio from WYSO's history collection has been digitized and cataloged. The collection includes records of WYSO programs, plus concerts, lectures, documentaries, poetry readings, and on-campus speeches, including Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s college commencement speech in 1965. The American Archive Project was recently transferred to public media outlet WGBH in Boston. Karen Cariani is the director. So where did it start?
The idea came from the notion that public media has been creating and producing materials since the 50s. And a lot of the stations that creating those and produce those programs kept a lot of the older materials. And it's all extraordinarily valuable historically and culturally because local public televisions and radio stations across the country have been covering aspects of our local culture, public affairs, children's programming, science, and the arts. And there's an amazing collection of material from the last 60 years across the country that's been created. And the notion was that we should be keeping this stuff and we should be keeping it safe and we should be preserving it and we should be making it accessible for the public, for scholars, for researchers, for educational purposes.
And so what was the next step?
And the next thing that they did was they funded an inventory project that GBH managed. And with the inventory project, we found out that there were 300 organizations across the country, not all stations. Some of them are historical societies, some of them are university libraries, some of them are public libraries, that have material that were either donated to them or created by stations and producers, independent producers, for public media. And we ended up with over 3 million records of an inventory of items that people had kept. From that, CPB funded 120 stations to actually itemize and inventory what they had in their collections. And from that inventory, we came up with 2.5 million records of material, which is a lot of stuff that stations have kept, that they created, that they produced, that they kept for whatever reason that they thought was important. And then from those 2.5 million inventory records, about 100 stations participated in the digitization, which CPB also funded. And CPB funded 40,000 hours to be chosen by the stations for digitization. And that is currently in process. The digitization is happening. And then the next phase of it was CPB found the new home for this collection of material, the inventory records and the 40,000 hours of digital files. And they awarded that new home to WGBH in collaboration with the Library of Congress.
How accessible will the archived media be? Can people use them in their own projects?
Initially, the proxies are only going to be available to view on location at the Library of Congress and at GBA. Because of all the rights issues involved with these materials, we're going to have to really sit down and work with the stations about those rights to figure out what we can make streamable over the web. So that's step number one. And then step number two, in terms of using the materials, again, you know, the stations that contributed this content are the ones who own it. So we're going to have to go back to the stations and talk to them about what can people do and not do with this material and how are we going to work with the stations to, you know, open up that avenue.
So what has the project done for WYSO? Nina Ellis, the general manager, explained the station's place in the project.
The American Archive Project has allowed us to digitize and catalog about 300 hours of our collection, which otherwise would still be sitting in plastic bags and cardboard boxes in the basement of Sontag Fowles, moldy, in danger of just totally disintegrating. So it's allowed us to create a usable audio archive from our collection that was just sitting unused. For the station, it means that we can use that audio to make programs out of it, which is exactly what Jocelyn Robinson is doing as the first Archives Fellow. She's taking that audio, making programs, and fairly soon we're going to be able to make that audio available to listeners online as well. So we'll be able to go in and understand a lot more about our local history, especially in the 60s and 70s.
What will be done with WISO's archive?
This is the first year that we've done this, and we're hoping to raise more money for more programming in subsequent years. There's so many subjects that we could hone in on once we begin to raise more money. We could do a regional music project. We could do a women's history project. We could do a Vietnam War project. There's so many topics that we could cover once we get rolling and once we get more funding.
This spring, WYSO began to air a series called Rediscovered Radio, produced by Jocelyn Robinson, the first ever WYSO Archives Fellow. She is a graduate of WYSO's Community Voices Radio Training Project. Here is an excerpt of one of the first of what is hopefully many pieces to be aired on Rediscovered Radio.
WYSO Radio News.
It's 1963. Morning edition, all things considered, and public radio as we know it won't exist for another 8 years. Yet WYSO was covering local events with an ear to their national importance. You just heard the start of a special report by Antioch student Bruce Havens on efforts to integrate a white-owned barbershop that wouldn't serve black customers.
Much is at stake in this local barbershop controversy, not only for the barber and civil rights partisans, but for the citizens of Ohio and perhaps the entire nation. Many court cases have stemmed from the battle at Gegner's barbershop, but the case with the broadest legal implications concerns Barber Lewis Gegner, a Yellow Springs Negro, Paul Graham, and the Ohio Civil Rights Commission. At stake, the constitutionality of the barbershop sections of the state's major anti-discrimination legislation, the Ohio Public Accommodations Act.
Within months, a major protest closed the barbershop, and the lawsuits evaporated. President Lyndon Baines Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act in July of 64 and came to town a couple years later on the midterm campaign trail. WYSO was there.
WYSO intends to keep releasing audio from its archives, audio that hasn't been heard in decades. The preservation process does more than keep the audio from being lost to the ages, though, but allows for easier access for people interested in hearing speeches and stories from those who came before us. To hear episodes of Jocelyn Robinson's Rediscovered Radio, go to WYSO.org. And for more information about the American Archive Project, go online and visit AmericanArchive.org. Music for the Antioch Word was written, produced, and performed by Seth Kaplan. I'm Zeb Reichert. Come back next month for another edition of the Antioch Word. Produced at the studios of public radio station WYSO in Yellow Springs, Ohio. Thanks for listening.